Let's turn for our scripture reading here today, which comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And 1 Peter, towards the end of your Bible, if you get to Hebrews, go a couple more books to the right and you're there. 1 Peter, chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first 7 verses of that book. And if you do not have your Bible with you, there are pew Bibles, which are King James. I read out of an NIV. Do you have your place? Let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Here we go. Verse number 1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let's go to God in prayer here this morning. Father, I pray for this reading here this morning. A little bit different, maybe even a little bit on the controversial side here in our 21st century America, but nonetheless, it is still your word. So, Father, open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to what we need to learn from this scripture here this morning about how husbands and wives and that relationship needs to exist in your eyes and certainly not in the eyes of the world. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, we're going through this journey through the New Testament in 2016. And again, every week, I'll take something that I see in our daily reading from that previous week, and I will preach about it. But today, I have taken this passage out of 1 Peter chapter 3. And you notice inside your bulletin, I didn't give a title for the name of this message. So here's the title of today's message. Ready? Diaper love. Diaper love. What is diaper love? Well, I'm going to talk about that specifically here towards the end of the message, but generally here at the beginning. These are two very curious words, and I'm going to share what this means and how this applies to what we just read here in today's text. But first, let's get a general overview of what Peter and the other epistle writers are talking about here this morning. Marriage. Marriage is one of the three institutions ordained by God. The other two are family and the church. And four times in the New Testament epistles, the Bible speaks about what a marriage between a man and a woman should be. And may I say this, and I say this without saying I'm sorry, a marriage is between a man and a woman, okay? Period. Thank you. It's between a man and a woman. And we covered that last year in that sermon series. But we see, we see the roles, R-O-L-E-S, we see the roles of men and women in a marriage and in the home explained in four different places in the epistles. First, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. We see it in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And we see it right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. These scriptures explain God's perfect plan for a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, in these institutions and specifically in marriage. Last year, about this time, I preached a six-week series on gender, on males and females. And I titled that series, God Created Them Male and Female, because that's what he says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And God created them male and female. And these human being males and these human being females are different. We are different. And I covered that last year too. If God wanted us to all be the same, which is egalitarian, and I have that definition inside your bulletin. If you wanted us to be all the same in all respects, God would have just created one gender. But he didn't. He created two. He created male and created them female. Yes, we are equal in salvation. We are equal in worth. But in our roles, R-O-L-E-S, we are what they call complementary. We complement each other. A man and a woman complete each other. As I showed you last year, here's the man and here's the woman. He can do these things. The woman can do these things. And when you bring them together in a marriage, they complete each other. And don't ever take out the letter L. We complete each other. We never compete with each other in a marriage relationship. And that includes in the church, and that includes also in the family. But if we were to read, or if anybody was to read today's text at face value, in today's society, and unfortunately in the church, some people would consider this, that I just read from 1 Peter chapter 3, offensive, and some would consider it hate speech. Some would consider it out of date. Some people cringe at that word submit because they believe it places a ball and a chain around the wife and she becomes a doormat and a household slave to that authoritative and dominating husband. Let me assure you, my friends, that is not what the Bible teaches at all. And nothing can be any further from the truth than believing those lies. Remember that Satan, he is working and he is at work and he's really good at working through the radical liberation movements that are going on in this world today. And these movements have deceived the minds of so many people and so many church people of the wonderful complementary relationship that could be had if we did things God's way. And I am convinced that our society would be so much better if every pastor and every church would preach these biblical principles on a regular basis. Unfortunately, too many pastors, too many churches, and too many denominations will never allow these passages to be read or to ever see or hear the light of day to the congregation. Why? Because they don't support them. They don't believe in them. Well, unfortunately, I have been commanded by God to preach the full counsel of God. And guess what? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 is there. So guess what I have to do? It's part of what you just got to do as a preacher. So on this Mother's Day today, 2019, let's look at the scripture text and look at some others to see what men and women must be in the home and especially towards each other so we can have this complementary thing in our marriage. And especially, and then we'll get to what diaper love is all about. So let's look at some basic facts of what the Bible says in this scripture and other scriptures about wives and husbands in a marriage. Okay? Number one, wives are to submit to their husbands. Oh, Mike, you can't say that. You can't say that. You cannot use that word, submit. That's offensive. That's hate speech. I didn't say it. God said it. I'm just repeating it. If you're upset, you're not upset with me. You're upset with him. Okay? I'm just passing on his truths. Try standing in an auditorium on a college campus and say that. If you make it out alive, you will be ridiculed the rest of your life. You will be mocked the rest of your life. And you will never hear this line being mentioned in a church that's being pastored by a lesbian. Amen. What exactly does it mean for a wife to submit to her husband? That is a great question. Answer: it means that she is obedient to her husband as her husband is obedient to Christ. Okay? She's obedient to her husband as her husband is obedient to Christ. As Christ was and is obedient to the Father. It does not mean, and I'll repeat this, that the wife is a doormat who responds out of fear, out of what her husband says or does. She responds out of love because her husband loves Christ as Christ loved the church. And we see this further explained in Ephesians chapter 5. So what is the duty for a husband? Well, let's talk about this. In a marriage, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says this: in a marriage, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Why? Why can you say that? Well, it goes back to the divine order of authority as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and Genesis chapter 2. You cannot have two people being the boss. Wasn't there a TV show about that once upon a time? Who's the boss? Was it Tony Danza or was it Judith Light? It was one or the other, right? Who's the boss? Somebody is the boss. And God says, the father, the husband is the boss. A man cannot serve two masters. And children will figure that out real quick. Who's the boss? And being the head of the household, husbands, does not mean that the husband is some bad-mouthed, ruthless dictator who makes each and every decision, while the wife is this doormat, and I keep on using that word, who just cooks breakfast, makes him lunches, makes him sandwiches, and caters to his every whim for fear that she's going to be abused either physically or verbally or some way if she doesn't submit to him. That is not God's intent. But that is what the world has turned it into. And that's not what it is. So what is God's intent for this? Let's go to the next fill in the blank. Husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. Oh my goodness. Guys, if you're a husband and you're sitting in here, because I'm a husband and I'm in here, guess what? We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Answer: he gave his life for the church. So I'm going to ask each and every husband in here, including myself, would we give our lives for our wives? And the answer has got to be, yes, we would. If Christ loved the church so much that he gave his life for the church, we are to love our wives that much that we would give our lives to them. Yes. Now, right along here, I'm going to add three words. I want to add three more words that well describe how a husband needs to love his wife. Now, I know it's Mother's Day, and I should be preaching more about the ladies here, but, you know, men, here we go. We're going to come down on you here today. So what does it mean to love our wives as Christ loved the church? Yeah, would we die for them? Yeah, that's good. But let's look at this in a very, very practical sort of way. What can we do above and beyond that for our wives that would enhance and make this relationship better? Number one, three words that begin with A. We need to give our wives attention. Husbands, we need to notice our wives. Never ever act like they are invisible or they're not in the room or they don't matter. They do matter. We need to give them attention. Our wives need to be the most important person on the face of this earth. Of course, Jesus will come first, but I'm talking about other human beings. Who's numero uno? That would be our wives. Let's give our wives the attention that she deserves before somebody else does. Number two, we give them attention. Husbands, we give them affection. Husbands, do we still put our arms around our wives and tell her how beautiful she is? Even when we don't want something, if you know what I mean. Okay? All right, come on. This isn't rocket science here. Okay? This is something we need to do because we want to do it, not because we want something in return. Have we told our wives, husbands, that she is as beautiful today as what she was on the day that you said, I do? Be that 60 years ago or 6 years ago or just last week. Let's give our wives the affection she needs before somebody else does. What else could we do, husbands, to make sure that we make sure we love them and they want appreciation? Husbands, have we thanked our wives for all the wonderful things that they have done for us day after day after day that we just take for granted? Have we, husbands, have we gone out of our way to make our wives feel special for who they are and what they mean to us? Because we do know somewhere that if they were gone, we wouldn't survive. Let's give our wives the appreciation that she deserves, or else someone else will. I put these up here, and I throw myself into the category of all the husbands, because I assure you, I need to improve, I need to improve, and I need to improve. Maybe we all need to improve. But we need to put that up there. Every husband who we like this passage about the wife needs to be submissive. Oh yeah, we like that passage, don't we? Don't we? But maybe it's time, husbands, that we start showering our wives as Christ loved the church, and we start showering our wives with attention, and we start showering our wives with affection, and we start showering our wives with appreciation. And then maybe once we do this, we will see how wonderful that other submissive word works out. Reciprocating. Okay. All right. Starting with us, husbands. It's going to start with us. Next fill in the blank. From 1 Peter 3. Wives may win their unbelieving husbands to the Lord because of their respectful behavior. It is not uncommon for a wife to be saved and the husband is not. I believe today, in today's American society, we will find more of that. If one spouse is a believer, in most cases, the believing spouse is usually the wife and not the husband. And we do see that more often. And these verses are saying this, that the respectful, submissive behavior of the believing wife has the opportunity, it says it right there, has the opportunity to lead that unbelieving husband to the Lord. Because what is the wife doing at this time? She is living out the gospel. It's what the gospel says. She's living it out in her actions. And trust me, this really goes both ways if this situation was reversed. We live that out in our lives in a very respectful and a very submissive sort of way. And then our final fill in the blank here this morning says this. The true beauty of a wife is in her heart and not her outward appearance. That's what it says there in verses 3 and 4. This does not mean by any means, that a woman cannot appear beautiful on the outside. Many do. And sometimes I wish they didn't, if you know what I mean. But sometimes they do. And they can appear beautiful on the outside. But what is precious to God? What's precious to God? God says it's what dwells in the heart. And what dwells in the heart is a submissive attitude toward her husband. And that is a reflection of what is in her heart. So let's kind of review what we have up here. So it says this, wives to submit to their husbands, okay, in a marriage, and the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Okay, we got that. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And husbands, we need to show much more attention. We need to show much more affection. We need to show much more appreciation for our wives. And then it says this about wives in particular here in 1 Peter 3, that they can win their unbelieving husbands, has the potential for doing that by their respectful behavior. And it's what's in the heart that counts, not what's on the outside. So there's a summary, a very general summary of what the Bible says. But what does any of this have to do with, boom, 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 diaper love? What is diaper love? Story time with Pastor Mike. It hasn't been that long ago. I was having a meal with another Christian brother. And we were sitting down talking about different things. And he had been married before. And he's now on his second marriage. He was married before, had a couple children from that first marriage. And we were talking about his second marriage, and he's been into a second marriage now for 15 or so years. I don't know how many years. And he said this. I said, "What prompted you to want to get married a second time?" And he said this. "I was very hesitant to get married a second time until I realized that I had diaper love for the person that I was going to marry." Well, an inquisitive Mike sat across the table from him and said, "What is diaper love?" And he said this, "The girl that I was dating, we were getting pretty serious, and she wanted to get married. She had never been married before. I had been through it once before, and I knew what happens in a failed relationship. But," he said, "I wanted to make sure that I had diaper love for the next person that I'm going to marry." And he said this, and I'm going to quote. He said this, "When we are old, and if I have to change your diaper, I want to make sure that I love you enough now to want to do that. And I need to make sure that I love you enough now to want to do that down the road. Because if I don't want to change your diaper later on in life, maybe you're not the person for me." How many young people today would consider diaper love before they tie the knot? Oh, most of us in here have been married or are married now. And I could pull each and every one of us and ask, "Why did you get married?" And I'd get a various amount of answers, and they would all be true for you and true for me. Did we ever consider this? That somewhere down the road, there could be diaper love? That somewhere down the road, that things are going to change? That she's not going to be this hot young thing that I married, or he's not going to be that handsome, well-built man that I fell in love with? Diaper love is loving your spouse as Christ loved the church. Diaper love is loving your spouse for better or for worse. Diaper love is loving your spouse in sickness and in health and until death do you part. Diaper love is understanding what God requires from you as a husband or a wife, and then living up to that standard. Diaper love is giving your wife, husbands, talking to you, the attention, the affection, and the appreciation that they deserve. Because to us, they are the most important person on the face of this earth. Diaper love is loving your spouse as defined by 1 Corinthians 13. That our love for that person is patient and it is kind. And it does not envy and it does not boast. And it is not proud. It does not dishonor others and it never seeks its own. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of right or wrongs. Let me repeat that one. It keeps no record of right and wrongs. Diaper love does not delight in evil, but it always rejoices in the truth. Diaper love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Because when we love our spouse with diaper love, love never fails. Never. Something to think about. This man ended up marrying this woman because he said this: when I realized that I had diaper love for this woman, I knew she was the one I wanted to marry. Regardless of what happens down the road, even if it means I have to change her diaper, I love her enough to do that. So I need to ask as we conclude here this morning, how does a man or a woman know what God expects out of them? Not what society expects out of us, but what does God expect out of us? As a man or a woman, or as a husband and a wife, if such truths, one, are never modeled in the home, or two, if they're never taught and preached in the church, how do we understand how those relationships should be if the preacher never opens up this word and talks about it? Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that means he died for. Are you willing to die for your wife? And if you have diaper love, the answer to that is, yes, I am. Ladies, have a very happy Mother's Day. Let's pray.